Welcome to Podcast Insider number 233. And I have another special guest host this week. Hello, Todd.
Yeah, I'm back. How you doing, Mike?
Doing good. We're trying a different recording setup here, so hopefully it sounds good.
Yeah, I think it will. We're doing a test on Riverside.fm today, so hopefully it does sound good. I've been using it with another show, and it's been working out great. But anyway, why don't you lead us off here, Mike?
Yeah, so we got a lot of stuff today. We got some news, got best practice, got some blueberry stuff, some real cool blueberry stuff coming up. So, and I had a great interview with a radio guy. The nominees for the Ambies Awards, that's the Excellence in Audio Awards from the Podcast Academy. As we're recording this, is a little before noon, but at noontime today, they're going to be announcing the finalists for the awards. So should be interesting to see who made it in.
Well, you know, you had to register. It was $250 to register for non-members, $150 for members. So it'll be interesting to see the stack up of shows that paid that type of money for the entry fee.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I had a look at some of those just because. Can't really say why. But anyway, it was, you know, a lot of the big players, but there were quite a few indies in there that I saw. So that's good. But yeah, I don't know who the finalists are yet. So very cool. Hey, another thing that might affect podcasting in the future, Google announced a new audio format. It's called Lyra, and it's 3 kilobits per second. We're doing this at 128 kilobits per second, and it doesn't sound bad. On that page that I linked from the Google AI blog, there's some examples down at the bottom. You can tell the difference, but it's not so bad. You know, if you're not doing music or anything like that, I think it'd be a pretty cool format. And they're going to be open sourcing it, they're saying. So,
and it's really designed, I saw the original article on this a couple of days ago, and it's really designed for people that are in bandwidth challenged locations. So for those that have modern data plans here in the United States, it's probably not something that they would use, but if you are on a limited bandwidth connection or you're on a mobile device that doesn't have a great connection, they say that this audio encoder, Lyra, is going to, you know, make it possible for you to do video conferencing because of the lower overhead on audio in places you wouldn't be able to otherwise. So it'll be interesting to see how this works out.
Yeah, it'll you know, there have been other formats before, you know, like AUG and a few others that have been proposed. You know, MP3s is kind of the standard, but, you know, who's to say that something couldn't replace that in the future? And, you know, maybe not for every show, but maybe, again, you know, for third world countries, I guess, or, you know, places like rural Michigan where you don't have real big bandwidth, you know, stuff like that. So anyway, it should be interesting to see. I'd like to play with it. I don't know how long it's going to take before that codec will get out or we can actually play with it, but I'd like to give it a try.
Yep. Meanwhile, Omni says smart speakers will overtake desktop browser downloads soon. Maybe for some shows, but not for most.
Yeah, I saw that too. They show a little graph there, and according to their study or their, you know, sample or whatever, desktop is down 45.8% versus 2019. And I kind of see in my stats that it's kind of the opposite. You know, more people are working from home, and, you know, it's easier to hit play on your computer, you know, when you're just working on something than it is to, you know, mess with it through a phone or smart speakers. Personally, I love my smart speaker devices, but I don't listen to a lot of podcasts on them. You know, you certainly can, you know, like with this one, if you want to say, you know, whatever smart speaker, and you say, you know, play the latest episode of Podcast Insider, and, you know, it'll likely find it. You know, by default, you know, all of them have some sort of podcasting capability, and you can also set that up. I know on Amazon's Talking Tube, you can set what you want to use for your podcast. But yeah, it's an interesting article. It's just, I don't know if I believe it either. Just knowing how I listen to podcasts, I tend to do it more on the computer than I would on a smart speaker.
Well, time will tell for sure. But I know that when I talk to Alexa, Of course, you don't want to say her name here on the show. Sure. So trigger someone's smart home device. It's usually like play local jazz or latest jazz station or something like that. I listen to more music on those devices than anything else. But anyway, moving on, there's a new podcast. This is an interesting one. It's called In Plain Sight with Lady Bird Johnson. Of course, she has long departed us. She is, they've taken recordings that she made, how many years ago, Mike? 40 years ago?
1963, between 1963 and 1968, she did a lot of audio diaries. So, you know, who knew that a podcast was recorded in 1963?
That's right. And so it was on a reel-to-reel, I think. I saw a picture, but we'll see how this, it should be fun to listen back to her diary, I guess, and I'm sure it's going to get a lot of play. But Mike, when we go to Vegas next time, we might have a place to record a podcast.
Yeah, Blue Wire. It's a sports podcast company, and Wynn Resorts have kind of teamed up, and they're building a pretty extensive studio right there at the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas. So should be interesting to see. But yeah, Wynn Resorts actually invested some money into Blue Wire. And to that end, they're going to have a public, I don't know if anybody can use it.
I didn't read
that part, but they'll have a podcast studio right there in the lobby at Wynn Las Vegas. So
it's in an effort to promote the Wynn Casino's sports book. So that's part of the reason for it as well. So they're going to have this on-site commentary about sports, and I guess at the same time, hoping people go place sport bets at their sports booking facility there at the Wynn. One thing about the Wynn, that is not an inexpensive place to go gamble. I'm just going to be right out there and say that out front.
Yeah, they got some great restaurants. Those aren't cheap
either. Well, they do. Yeah.
But yeah, but the thing about it, I don't know if you've been hearing all the ads for online sports betting. It just became legal in the state of Michigan, I'm sure elsewhere too, but we've just been bombarded with ads for those things.
Well, another way to throw your money away. So
exactly.
Be careful out there, folks. They don't keep those lights on in those hotels in Vegas because of people walking away with millions of dollars, but
those fancy buildings were not built on the winners.
No, they were not. But let's talk about the best practices you've got going on this week.
Yeah, this was kind of a repeat, but it comes up over and over again. So I just wanted to go over, you know, the best practice after publishing your episode. You know, once you hit publish, you should do a few things just to make sure everything is working as it should. Because you never know, something might have happened. So, you know, just take 2 minutes to check it out. So, you know, the number one thing is after publishing, you go to your website, hit play on the player. That would save so many people 2 days later going, why is my podcast not doing very well? Well, it didn't play. So something, you know, went wrong. You know, could be corrupted, you know, when you're uploading. And, you know, it's not just Blueberry, it's anywhere. You know, you should always hit play just to make sure that the thing plays and make sure it sounds decent. You know, sometimes a corrupted file will sound funny and, you know, it's a lot easier to re-upload it right then and, you know, then it goes out as planned. So make sure you have the correct audio for your episode. A lot of times, you know, and I've done this too, you know, I'll do the editing or, you know, what little editing I do, save the file, and then I'll accidentally upload the wrong file to the episode. So make sure it's the right thing.
Yeah, I've done that a few times. Published the same show twice.
Yeah, so double check that you got the right thing. And this is the one thing that a lot of people don't do, and they really should. You should subscribe to your own show. If you have an Apple device, Apple Podcasts, you know, everybody's got it. If you're not using it for your normal listening, that's fine. But Apple Podcasts, if it works there and you're subscribed to it, you should get it right away or really soon. And, you know, Google Podcasts on the Android side or, you know, anything that's a normal podcast app, not a traditional music streaming app like Spotify, you know, that could be delayed or, you know, Amazon or any of those things that are traditionally not a podcast app. But, you know, something that's made for podcasting that actually subscribes to the RSS feed, you know, subscribe to it on that, on whatever device you have, and just double check that it works. And then after about 24 hours, I like to go through, you know, some of the places I'm, you know, my show is on just to make sure that it made it there, you know, like Stitcher, and that's where you go check out Spotify and Amazon and all that. Just make sure that it made it into the directories over there, and you might find one that's missing. But if it's working on Apple and Google and Stitcher and a bunch of others, but one of them, it isn't, it's not necessarily your problem. You know, it happens that sometimes these syndication points have an issue. You know, Apple famously now and again has a little bit of trouble updating their directory listings. You know, usually not too long. But, you know, if it's just Apple and it's working everywhere else, then you know your podcast is working. It's just Apple might be having an issue or Stitcher might be having an issue, you know, something like that. Don't automatically think something's broken on your side because, you know, technology breaks sometimes. And this last one here is sometimes once you're sure it's working, relax. don't overthink it because it'll drive you nuts. You know, just get on with your next episode prep and it's all working. Anything to add to that, Todd?
I think you've covered it well, Mike. So next up, a little bit of blueberry news going on. We made some changes, name changes, not product changes, but name changes. You want to talk about what we did with Stats?
Yeah, we haven't changed the product, but we did change the name. So our Stats, instead of being Basic Stats and Pro Stats, we changed them to Free for the Basic and Standard for the Pro, and then Advanced Stats stays the same. And we have a link to a blog post explaining that, but it's simply a name change because, you know, we didn't have Advanced Stats before, and so Pro is the top, and it still sounds like it should be the top, so we sort of, you know, mixed it up so that it's a little less confusing for customers, but you still get the same exact stats. So if you get Standard Stats, that's our old Pro Stats, and Advanced Stats is the new thing.
And we're getting ready to release PowerPress 8.5, so we're going to have a whole bunch of implementation of podcast index tags, so any idea when they're going to cut that loose to the public, Mike?
I heard that I'm running it beta on one of my sites, and it's all working good. So it may be later this week or early next week, but look for that when PowerPress 8.5 comes out. There'll be a few more tags you can add, specifically the locked tag. And we always had a location tag, but now we have the one for podcast index. It's in the same location as the one that we had prior, and, you know, just a bunch of geeky stuff under the hood, but it's good stuff. I'm excited about it.
We're going to have a way where you can link your transcript. So if you get your transcript later from AudioBurst, you'll be able to go in and update your blog post and add your transcript, and also something called chapter tags. So chapter functionality, which is pretty geeky right now from that standpoint, but those of you that use some of those advanced features, you'll be able to get access to that as soon as PowerPress 8.5 is out.
Yeah, and the funding tag, so you'll be able to put your donate link in there, or maybe later on, once Adam and Dave get that figured out, the funding per minute thing. I don't quite understand how that works, but anyway, that capability will be there when you're ready for it.
And we also published an article on the website called Clubhouse for Podcasters, talking about Clubhouse itself and the biggest benefits of Clubhouse. And I tell you, that's a growing, there's even going to be a free podcast conference that is on Clubhouse. Now, it's still only iOS, so, and it's invite only, so you just can't sign up for it. That will be a challenge, but a lot of people have gotten invites, and you just have to ask around if you're an iOS user. But for Android users, they're still kind of on the fence. They don't have the Android app ready yet. But Clubhouse for Podcasters, check out that blog post.
Yep, it's still kind of exclusive, but they'll open it up at some point and hopefully they can handle it. So anyway, I had an interview this week. I talked with Dave Graveline. If you listen to Saturday Tech Shows, he's one of the hosts on about 200 radio stations. The show's called Into Tomorrow, and Dave and I talked for quite a while. So we're going to go ahead and play that interview. Dave's an interesting guy. Sure. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to join you, Mike. I appreciate that. In spite of my not so talk show host worthy voice these days, it's going on 2 months.
Yeah, it's sounding better than the last time we talked, for sure. So
yeah, there is improvement, but man, when you have swollen vocal cords and inflamed and laryngitis, it's like the worst thing in our business of talking.
That's for sure. I've had a minor version of that sometimes, but never quite to your extent there. But
and anyway, too, occasionally, you know, I mean, it happens. It's something, you know, as people who talk for a living, you know, we experience sore throats and that perhaps more than most people, but never this long. I mean, going on 2 months is scary. You know, usually it's a few days, a week at the most. Every time we do a broadcast out of Las Vegas, I go from our 80 degree humidity of Miami to zero humidity, and it goes right to my throat, drives me right out.
Oh yeah, I've
so
been
that's
there.
Usually an issue, but we know we can see light at the end of that tunnel. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, every time we go to CES, I come back with crappy voice syndrome.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's see. Let's introduce you here. You've been doing a radio show nationally syndicated for what? You said 26 years, or am
26
I off on
years that? Now? Yep.
Wow. Yeah. So the show's called Into Tomorrow, and it's mainly a consumer electronics type show, correct?
Correct. We talk about products and services, gadgets and gizmos, all sorts of things that are available today and into tomorrow, cleverly enough, and been doing it until they catch us. And now it's 26 years, so they still haven't caught on, I guess.
Right, right. And at some point along the line, you guys started podcasting. I know you've been using Blueberry's PowerPress plugin. And recently, we actually moved you to Blueberry Hosting. So get some of that load off of your website and all that good stuff. How's the podcast been going?
Well, the podcast, especially, and not to blow smoke, Mike, but especially since we joined you guys at Blueberry, have been much better. Our web hosting, our domain hosting company, was complaining that we were causing way too much traffic. And I thought, well, isn't that a good problem? And they said, yeah, but not for our servers. And it's like, oh, wonderful. And then, you know, you and Todd and Jeff came into the picture and said, well, we can solve that problem. We don't complain about too much traffic. We want your traffic. And yeah. So we moved over to Blueberry, very thankfully, and the partnership is working out very well. But to your point earlier about when we got into podcasting, we've been doing the show on the air, currently on about 200 AM and FMs all around the country for these 26 years. But we were podcasting long before anybody ever called it podcasting. We were archiving our real audio. This might bring people back a few years, yeah. But we were using real audio and archiving these things on our website. And, you know, podcasting in and of itself, as we know it, was years away. And we thought, well, we got to give a chance for people who either miss some of the 3-hour weekly show on their local station or don't have a local station in their area, a way to hear the show. And we thought this is the only way to do it. And so people were, I guess, subscribing, even though that wasn't an appropriate word then either. But we're signing up to get our real audio, and we've never charged, and we still don't, unlike some other tech shows that like to charge for their podcasts. It's like, what? That's absurd. but you know, folks were catching on. And then, of course, when podcasting came into it, it's like, hey, we're already doing this. Let's just start calling it podcasting and use the podcasting algorithms, if you will, and everything else, and do it in that sense. And we've been very happy ever since. So, yeah, podcasting since the beginning, if you will. Almost like caveman days.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I started right about the time it started as well. So, yeah, it's podcasting's been around, I guess, 16 years in its current form. Some say longer. That's a whole controversy. But
true. That's making us sound old anyway, but hey.
Sure. Yeah, I used to listen to, you know, Bruce Williams, Williams.
I used to produce his show when he would come to South Florida. I was executive producer at WKAT at the time, which was an old talk station. I think they're all Spanish now or whatever they're doing. But he would come to South Florida, and I would be his producer and his board op, and he'd do his shows from that radio station for his syndication. So I know him very well, quite the broadcaster, and a lot of fond memories working with him.
Yeah, that was the first one I ever remember doing the archiving like that. And I bought one of the very first iPods, and you had to download the file and then drag it into the iPod, you know, and that was before RSS and podcasting and all that. But yeah, very good. So yeah, Bruce, he's a character for sure.
Oh, for sure is right. And you bring back those kind of fond memories. It's like when we talk with our young interns or young staff that joins us and gets involved, or even listeners, you know, we get to talking about things like editing tape, and they go, what? I mean, how did you ever do that? You know, because of all of the technology available now, and everything is digital, and you copy and paste and cut and paste and whatnot. And we actually would bring out the old splicing block and splicing tape because we try to keep some just to show them what it was really like back in the day.
Well, cut and paste actually means what it says on tape.
Exactly. And, you know, bring out a razor blade and then play a little piece and say, okay, now we want to cut that out and move it over here. No way. Yeah, way. And here's how we do it. And they're all scratching their heads saying, holy cow, how did you do that? Well, we did it, and we did it very successfully because it was the only way to do it. So that was editing way back then.
Oh, yeah. I actually did some of that on video with videotape.
Oh, me too. And that's even more bizarre.
Yeah, I didn't go all the way back to film and video, but definitely on videotape, the old, was it 3/4-inch Sony cassettes that they had for broadcasting. And I had a unique skill also. I could clean the tape heads on a 3/4-inch deck while it was running.
Whoa, love it. Dangerous, but love it.
Yeah, you had to keep your finger right where you wanted it.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I think what's cool, Mike, is that we got a lot of folks listening now to your podcast that are saying, I did that too, or I remember those days, or, you know, that's really neat. And by the same token, a lot of younger folks that are going, really? You guys really did that? You know, it's like sometimes they just don't believe how technology has advanced so dramatically in our business, especially.
Well, just think of what we're doing right now. You know, we're on a Zoom call and, you know, we're doing nearly broadcast quality.
Yeah.
Just over the internet. You know, that was unheard of 10 years ago, even.
Oh, for sure. Good point. I mean, we were doing our show 26 years ago live from my home in Miami with an ISDN line to the satellite uplink at ABC in New York and out to all of our affiliates around the country. And back then, again, remember, this is a long time ago, nobody was doing that. And it was very unique and it was very bizarre. And it was also very unnerving many times. You know, we had a generator that we'd pull out of the shed on the side yard if we had any power outages or any issues. And sometimes we would run it anyway because so many stations were depending on the broadcast and wanting the quality. And the ISDN was good quality at the time. Nobody even installs ISDN lines anymore. But, you know, that's what we had. And, of course, a lot of very expensive equipment to convert the signal and get it up there. And then they had to deconvert it at their end. But that's the way it was. You know, you wanted to do something live. That's how you did it.
Yeah, I remember the ISDN lines as well. Geez, that brings me back. This is like old radio show stuff. Yeah. I love it. And, you know, and the thing is with podcasting, you know, only being 15 years old or 16 years old, you know, this is the early days of podcasting still. You know, who knows what it's going to be like in 20, 30 years.
That's true. In fact, it's scary because you might just tap your temple and suddenly start broadcasting or podcasting. Who knows? You know, you're going to get a chip implanted maybe and then say, hold on, let me broadcast this and beep. I mean, I don't know where it can go. But then again, where we are today with so much technology, who would have thunk it years ago?
Right. You know, I've got a little device on my desk here. You know, it's about the size of a laptop that basically would have been a remote truck back in the days.
Oh, yes.
You know, just because it's got a mixer, I can drop in sound effects. You know, I have ins and outs, and, you know, it's just way different than, you know, the big console you'd see at a radio station. You know, the whole concept of a board op anymore. That's the thing about podcasting. You're everything. You're your own board op. You can be anyway. And that's what's cool about it. And it lends itself to, you know, radio guys like you also doing a podcast, because audio is audio. Podcasting is the distribution method.
True. Very good point, Mike. And in fact, when I talk about that sort of thing on the show, I get panic looks from everyone in the control room. It's like, what? We could be out of work. What do you mean? You can handle it all. You know, and I said, don't worry, you know, have no fear. I'm not going to do that. You know, we'll keep you employed. You know, it's like your name's on the logo. You know, we need you. It's just like when my voice goes like it does, then everybody panics. You know, we might be out of work. You know, no, we push through, as we say in the biz, the show must go on, right?
Exactly, exactly. And,
but
you know,
right, it's too easy to podcast these days. You need a decent microphone. You don't even need a mixer unless you're going to have a guest, you know, another mic or two, and you do your thing. You know, you save it to your laptop and voila, you know, you work with somebody like Blueberry and they do the heavy lifting for you.
Right. You know, that's, like I said, it's the distribution method. You know, the RSS feed is your transmitter, and and your studio is, you know, I've seen people, they take their phone and they go sit in their clothes closet, and the quality on that is damn near as good as, you know, a real expensive studio somewhere.
And it's depressing somewhat for me, because we've spent thousands and thousands of dollars over the years, because we do have a separate talk studio, and I have the ability to have myself and up to three guests in the studio. You know, we have all these monitors. We've got obviously a lot of video cameras, because we do all of our interviews now on Zoom for the radio show, and we extract the audio, but then we also have the video. Because people not only want to see the guest, but in our case, we typically talk a lot about various gadgets and gizmos and products. They want to see the products too. So people all the time are telling us they're listening to the radio show, like in their car typically, and they're imagining this stuff. And of course, theater of the mind for radio is terrific. But then they want to get home or to the office or wherever where they've got their computer, and they want to watch the video. They want to see the interview. And it just really kind of blends in nicely. It's a nice partnership, if you will, because audio and video obviously make the difference. And you don't have to just imagine what something looks like. Now come see it.
Yeah. I always said, you know, I've worked in television before, and I've always said that radio's harder to do because of the theater of the mind thing. You know, on video, everybody's seeing the same thing, but in their head, they're seeing something different. And, you know, with the way podcasting and, you know, YouTube and other video, you know, there's way more places to do video today. You know, that blends well together. But, you know, again, this is an audio medium, you know, just like radio and podcasting. You know, you can podcast video. Not as many people do that. But, you know, of course, we can at Blueberry.
Of course you can. But maybe we should be podcasting our video interviews with you guys as well. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, at some
people
point.
Can sign up for them, them and see it. But yeah, you talk about heavier traffic. Of course, video is going to take more bandwidth and get a lot of folks maybe pumped about seeing some things. But, you know, truly, you know, we're radio guys. We're audio guys. And we love it when we can describe stuff. And when people can listen and get emotional and excited about the things we talk about. And I think that's far more interesting in the long run.
Yeah, and on top of that, you can mow your lawn and listen to a podcast. You don't want to be watching a YouTube video on the lawnmower, you know?
Exactly, especially when you start rolling over your shrubbery and stuff. That's just not effective.
Right. That's how I got into listening to podcasts. And before that, you know, downloading radio shows. Is, you know, I'm busy doing other stuff. I don't want to be staring at a screen. And, and you know, there's just such a variety of podcasts out there. I mean, you name it, there's a podcast about it. There's even an underwater basket weaving podcast. Did you know that?
Wait, underwater basket weaving? I get the basket weaving podcast, but underwater?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's actually a joke. My demo site that I do a webinar for Blueberry every month or so. And the demo website is the Underwater Basket Weaving Podcast.
Oh, cool. I love it. Well, anyway. It certainly gets their attention, which is, again, what we have the ability to do with audio only. You know, it's like you got to go, sex. Now that I have your attention, I have something to tell you or whatever. You got their attention.
Yeah, for sure. So you guys, when you started the actual podcast, did you guys start out with PowerPress or did you go through some iterations of that?
I want to say we went through several iterations, of course, because we were moving then from real audio and those kinds of archiving WAV files and things of that nature to podcasting per se. And thank God I have a good staff that handled all of that. Because I got to just play the host and executive producer and say, just make it happen, you know?
Yeah, that's always nice.
Yes, it is. And that's when I get the thumbs up from everyone in the control room. It's like, that's right. Don't you forget you have a big staff that does all those things and you can't do it all yourself. But then we talk to people on the radio show that always ask us about how do they start a podcast? You know, maybe they are into basket weaving and they want to take a different angle or they want to do a gardening podcast or they want to do a podcast about tech. You know, there's plenty of room for all of us to jump in and talk about technology. And it's always fun to let people know that it really is easy to do. And of course, the better quality equipment you use, the better you're going to sound. You know, I really don't like to hear people who are just using their cell phone and they sound like they're across the room, or they sound like they're in their bathroom because it's all echo. I mean, it's just not pleasant to listen to, even though their content might be terrific. So to your point earlier about going into a closed closet, or you might have a walk-in closet because it's very quiet. You know, we've got sound panels all over our studio and very heavy drapes in front of the studio window. And then we still have a big window into the control room. So sound tends to bounce off of that, but that's angled and, you know, broadcast specs and all that fun stuff. But you want it to sound good as well as have good content. And I think there are people that are out there that would disagree with me and say, hey, if the content is great, we don't care what it sounds like. Well, okay.
Up to a point.
I think they'd be in the minority. But it bothers me now with my throat issues that don't have the normal dulcet tones, if you will. And, you know, the ear, nose, and throat doctor says it's a post-COVID thing because I spent a month in the hospital with the Rona and double pneumonia and all the other nonsense. And it's like, there are so many things that continue to happen that they point to the Rona.
Yeah. You know, you're sounding decent. Like I said, from the last time I talked to you, there's vast improvement. So, yeah.
I think I was really going through puberty then. I mean, it sounded like that, which is really weird on the radio. You know, and people say, well, gosh, you do 3 hours every week on the radio. Well, yeah, we also do 60-second daily features for many of our stations with just another little vignette about tech. And there's a lot of stuff that we're working on all week, interviews and so forth, to compile the weekly show. So, yeah, there's a lot of talking. And, of course, the ENT doc says, don't talk. And I said, you do know what I do for a living, right? It was more like, you do know what I do for a living, right? You know, and he says, yeah, so only talk when you're in the studio. Great. So I have to bring people in the studio and ask them questions and talk. So I'm following doctor's orders.
Yeah. But, you know, back to your point about audio quality. Yeah, you know, I always tell people if it's not painful to listen to, it's probably okay.
Yes.
But, you know, there's times where, you know, especially during interviews, I've noticed a lot of people that do interview shows, they don't level everybody right. And the best way to level them is to level it prior to hitting record.
Yes.
And getting close, because in post-production, it's really hard to level. Not really hard. There's some really cool tools out there, but the less you have to do post-production, the better off you are, you know, with quality.
Yep.
And, you know, like I said, as long as it's not painful, you know, I think it's pretty good. Working in television, audio was always the last thing they think about. If you don't look at your TV during the local news, you'll hear all kinds of echo. And, you know, it seems okay when you're watching it. But, you know, if you just listen to it, it's not good.
Oh, some of the stuff is just painful. And I'm not even talking about the Zoom interviews where, you know, people don't have a little headset mic or earbuds with a built-in inline microphone or something, and they're just talking across the room to their laptop or whatever. That's bad enough, but expected, unfortunately, this last year, and hopefully not too much more. But, you know, just in general, they don't pay attention typically to the importance of audio. I mean, I even have an old analog VU meter in front of me in the studio that allows me to make sure I keep a good level on me and my guests, because I don't want to be louder than them and I don't want them buried and that sort of thing. And to me, that's important. You know, that's, I guess that's the old many years radio guy in me, but right. I do want to make sure we have a good level.
Yeah. And I've got
glad to hear you say that.
Yeah. On this little audio board that I have, it's a Rodecaster Pro, if you're wondering. Mm-hmm. I've got a digital VU meter, plus I have meters for each of the channels, and, you know, you just kind of watch for it, and if it's just hitting the yellow all the way across, you're good.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, you know, I'm using an ElectroVoice RE20 expensive microphone, but that's because that's what I do for the radio show.
Right.
So I'm on that now because I'm sitting in our studio, doctor's orders, in order to talk to you.
And yeah, I'm using the same microphone, by the way.
Oh, very good. So see, that's why we both sound good, but you don't have to spend that kind of money in order to sound good with a decent podcast. Just make sure it's a decent mic, like Blue Mic. I'm sure you're familiar with that. Make some really awesome podcast USB microphones. and they just plug right into your computer you're good to go. And then, but watch your levels on your computer then too.
You also have to be real careful with those condenser mics. They will pick up everything. So, there's a little bit of a learning curve with a condenser. There's some other mics out there that are dynamic USBs that really sound good as well. So check that out.
Yeah. If you're doing a monologue kind of podcast, it's just you, then you want to be careful. You don't want an omnidirectional microphone that's going to pick up noise across the room. You want something that is picking up your voice that you can get close and intimate if necessary in order to make a point.
Exactly.
Or you can get back and say, wow, that was amazing. You know, you could do all of that. And again, it doesn't have to be expensive, but it should be a decent microphone. I used to tell people, go to Radio Shack and buy a mic. Now you can't find a Radio Shack, let alone a mic.
But yeah, not at Radio Shack anyway.
I know, exactly. But there are so many good things to choose from. We always recommend, spending a little money, but you don't need all the gear that we have in our studios and control room in order to do what you do. Heck, we don't need all the gear anymore either. But the important thing is quality. So we want to make sure that we're heard on, because we're on several AM stations, but we're on almost as many FM stations now as well.
Yeah, a lot of FMs have gone to talk.
Yep. And some AMs are just simulcasting on their FM transmitter. But either way, you certainly don't sound as good on FM without good quality equipment. So AM, you can get away with some of that, but you still want to deliver the best you can to your audience, whether it's radio stations for their transmitters or your podcast subscribers. You still want to make sure it's as good quality as you can afford.
Yeah, we certainly sound decent here. And we, of course, have our production team that takes care of any imperfections. So that's all good.
So awesome.
Not
that you and I would have any.
Of course not.
You don't have to do any de-umming of either of us, especially when we have a nice conversation like this. It's hopefully enjoining the audience and people are just enjoying what we're talking about, I hope.
Yeah, that's that's what we go for here, and that's what you should go for. If you're doing an interview show, a lot of times we were talking about this before we started, but this is a good topic for this show as well, is when you're interviewing somebody, listen to them. Don't look at your sheet and say, okay, the next question is going to be X, because, in this case, Dave might say something that I want to follow up on. And if I'm not paying any attention to him, I won't have that follow-up question. I might miss something cool.
And that is a good point. Not only listen to your guests, and in our case as well, listen to our audience, because we invite folks to call in anytime, 24/7, and then we'll address their digital dilemma, if you will, or their consumer tech question or whatever, on the very next broadcast. So we'll play their call and we'll address their question and answer the question. If they're asking for input about a product, we always do at least two or three different products in terms of recommendation so that we're not playing favorites. But in our experience, we'll talk about this. If something sucks, we say that on the air too. wait for version 2 of such and such product, because they're just not quite there yet. But listening to your guests and your audience, you hit the nail on the head, Mike. It's so important, because you don't want to just run through a list of questions. Sure, if you're concerned, you want to cover important points, have a little outline, have some bullet points in front of you maybe to make sure you talk about this and this and this to get across the stuff that really interested you on behalf of your audience. Absolutely no problem with that. But don't be reading the next question in your mind and not listening to your guest, because then it's not a conversation. It's not fun either. And I don't do anything unless I can have fun with it. I'm a riot at funerals. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's a skill.
I like to think so. I mean, we've had people over the years that tell us they're dial hopping on their radio in the car, for example, and they hear some guys just having some fun. They don't even know what we're talking about. They don't even know what Into Tomorrow is. They're just dial hopping. And then here's some guys laughing about something or joking about something or answering a listener question and having some fun with it, giving some ideas. And they say that's how they found us. And I think that's terrific. And, we've had people that say they subscribe to our podcast only because they were just looking for fun things. And they thought, what the heck, I'll give them a listen. And they've been a subscriber ever since. Well, terrific. Whatever it takes to build your audience, you need to continue to do. And again, if you don't have fun doing something, my philosophy has always been don't do it.
Yeah. And especially like with podcasting is, you know, the vast majority of the typical podcaster is doing this as some sort of an advanced hobby. So it's not really, let's make a living at it. Some do, of course, but you know, a vast majority of our customers are, you know, what I call hobbyists or advanced hobbyists in podcasting, and they do it for fun for the most part. You know, they might make a little money here and there to pay for hosting or whatever, you know, but it's not their primary means of income. So, you know, if it is no longer fun, why are you doing it?
And Mike, you bring up yet another good point, and that is podcasters have also become an important farm team, if you will, for broadcasting, because there are so many that have started as a podcast, and some broadcasters who are in a decision-making capacity, program director, general manager, operations manager at a station, might hear your podcast and say, you know, we have an opening, and I would love to have that guy or gal try a little segment, do an hour on our show on the weekend or something, and talk about, be it politics or gardening or home building or repairs or whatever it might be, whatever your hobby is. And I'm using that in air quotes now, because it may turn into making you a decent living or getting you into broadcasting and on the radio. And of course, decent living and on the radio don't necessarily go together either.
Not always, for sure.
You got to do it because you love it. You know, you got to do it for passion. There's only a handful of the likes of Rush Limbaugh's, rest in peace, and Howard Stern's and people like that, that have humongous audience. You know, we're proud that we average about 1.4 million listeners on the radio every week, and a whole bunch of podcast listeners, of course, especially now that we're with Blueberry. But the fact is that, you know, not everyone has the ability to do that. You know, we're proud of 200 radio stations, but they were on 1,200 radio stations, you know, and more.
Right.
And, you know, while everyone who does syndicated radio aspires to be in many more markets on many more stations, you can be happy with being on your local radio station and doing what you love, talking about what you love, and hopefully taking listener calls and interviewing people and listening to them.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, you guys are on a local station here in Traverse City, Michigan. So
Very good.
I've heard you from time to time. I don't often turn on the radio, but.
And why shouldn't you? Because podcast, oh, I shouldn't say that, because, you know, it's funny because I don't want to make any of our radio stations nervous, but we've had considerable participation on the show. Listeners calling in, emailing, texting, doing, you know, just participating one way or another from folks that we source as hearing us on our podcasts, not having a local station in their area, or in some cases, their local affiliate maybe only carries one or two of our 3 hours, and they get the podcast for the second or third hour because they don't want to miss it. And that not only warms the cockles of my heart, but it's kind of cool to know that the increased participation dramatically has been from podcast subscribers.
Right.
And that's only growing, and we're thrilled about that.
Yeah, and you think about it this way, though. You know, your podcast listeners are growing the radio audience and making the show better, and
like
vice versa.
So.
You know,
yeah.
You know, and you were talking about, you know, podcasting being the farm team for broadcasters. Sometimes it works the other way around. I know a local broadcaster here in town had, you know, mid-morning show on the AM station, reasonably popular, switched to a podcast, you know, got off the radio and is now doing it as a podcast, and it's actually becoming more successful locally. But, wow. You know, that's kind of an odd situation, but, you know, or a lot of guys will get out of radio, retire from radio, they still got the bug, so they start a podcast.
That's true. It is like maybe sometimes the spouse drives them crazy. You know, my mother used to joke many years ago as I was growing up that she couldn't wait till I got on the radio so she could turn me off. And of course, she was always my biggest promoter. She never turned me off when I was on the radio. But she said I would run around the house talking into wooden spoons and, you know, anything that would resemble a microphone. And she said it was fun. It was interesting. But oh my gosh, you just never shut up, do you? Destined to be a talk show host.
Hey, that's, like I said, that's the skill. Might as well use it.
That's the instrument. You know, I've always said, God forbid I break an arm or a leg, I can still make a living. But when I've got swollen vocal cords or laryngitis like I do now, I'm in trouble. And it hurts in many ways. So. Yeah.
Well, hey, let's not overdo it here. How do people find your show, both podcast and radio?
Well, that's easy. The name of the show is Into Tomorrow. So intotomorrow.com is where you can search for a local affiliate, or more importantly, simply subscribe to our podcast right there on the main page. There's a little button that you can click and subscribe depending on whatever device you might use. And we're thrilled to do that. You could also use my last name, Graveline. I know people think that Dave Graveline is made up for radio. Who the heck would make that up? That's my real name. So you could do graveline.com and it points to Into Tomorrow. And we've got, it's funny about that too, we've had to register the domain of every misspelling of tomorrow that we could think of, because it's one of those words when you're typing that, wait a minute, two M's? No, one, two R's? No, two O's? Hold on, wait. Yeah. So we've registered like, I don't know, half a dozen extra domains with misspellings of tomorrow.
Yeah, imagine our domain name.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's funny because I used to refer to you even on the air as Blueberry, you know, because no E's. And I thought, you know, that's it. No, we're Blueberry, but just no E's.
Right,
and
we couldn't afford the E's. That's the joke.
So. I love it. But see, now, since I'm used to being the interviewer, I've got to ask you, Mike, why Blueberry? How'd that name come about?
Well, it started out, the company name is Raw Voice. And
which is what I have now.
Yeah. And Blueberry was just one of the sub-brands of Raw Voice Incorporated. And our Raw Voice is, and it still is, I guess, tagline is fresh organic content.
Love it.
You know, and one of our founders' family was in the fruit business here in Michigan. And so, you know, blueberry just happened to be one of the things they picked.
So, no doubt organic blueberry.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, yeah, that's the origin story. There's a few versions of that story running around the company too.
Oh, yeah. But I like your version because it also makes sense. You know, I can buy into that.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Dave, well, thanks for being on the show and thanks for becoming a Blueberry customer / user. Definitely wish you luck on the podcast and the radio and get that voice sounding a little better.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate it very much. And please say hi to Todd and Jeff and your whole team as well, because this was a delight. As I said to you before, and even off the air, I'm not used to being the one interviewed, you know, the interviewee. So those kinds of things. And yet it's happened, of course, all the time over all these years, because people want to know various things. But I'm always uncomfortable about that. I'd rather play host and let, you know, someone else like you be my guest. So this was fun, though. I got to say, I've had a blast with you, and hopefully we have a chance to do it again sometime.
All right. Well, we'll definitely send you a link to the interview, and you have a good rest of your day.
You too. Thank you so much, Mike.
All right. That was a great interview, Mike. Dave is an interesting guy, and I look forward to working more with Dave.
Yeah. We got into a lot of radio stuff, so that was fun. Kind of old home week there. We had a question of the week, and it's kind of appropriate, especially this week with us. It's from Chris on Facebook. It says, does anyone use Zencastr instead of Zoom for video, you know, interviews for podcasts? And, you know, one of the comments, this was on our Blueberry group. You can scroll down and see that on the Blueberry Podcasting group on Facebook. I thought it was interesting because, you know, we're using Riverside.fm and it does work for video. We're not currently using video on this, but yeah, you know, he was asking other people what they use. We had one person that was using Zencastr and they're adding video, or they've added video recently. And, you know, for us, normally we're using Skype and in a pretty well-equipped studio setup, a switcher and all that down at your studio. We're doing it the hard way.
Oh, we're doing it the old-fashioned way. We're just recording audio today, yeah.
Yeah, today we're just doing, you know, audio. But, you know, normally the way we do it, you've got all that equipment down there in the studio. And, you know, so it's not a software thing, but now, you know, there's a lot of software out there. Zoom works pretty good.
Sure.
For me, you know, it's, you can even broadcast that to Facebook and other places. You know, it's all what you're used to, but Zencastr, I don't have a lot of experience with, but I put this in here just because there's a lot of ways to do everything. So
I would assume that Zencastr's audio is probably a little better than Zoom. And because Zencastr doesn't currently do video, it's not even an option. I really like the Riverside function where if you want to do video, you can capture the video as well. And that's pretty slick. So I think that there's some good options out there. Lots of great tools. Of course, you know, our old standby Skype is fine as well. So, you know, the key there really is getting good master recordings. And a lot of these tools allow you to do that.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, like I said, this Riverside thing looks pretty slick. It runs within a browser, so it's not even an app. But yeah, I kind of like it. So far, anyway. So, yeah, really not too much today. We had a nice long interview, so don't want to keep you around too much longer. So, anything else to add there at the end, and we'll close it out.
I think we're good. I'm Todd at blueberry.com.
And Mike at blueberry.com. Of course, you can contact Mackenzie at blueberry.com. She kind of helps us pre-produce and sometimes host and all that good stuff. If you want a free month of anything at Blueberry, go to blueberry.com and use the promo code INSIDER. I think I got all the ending stuff here. I didn't write all that down.
I think you did. Sounds good. Mike, thanks for hosting today and see everyone next week here, I guess.
Thanks for being my special co-host or guest host.
That's right. All right, everyone. Take care.